This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can always contribute to the program. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as we get you ready for NFL Week 13 Sunday. Week 13 in the NFL got off to a very exciting start, especially when you consider the Circa Survivor and Circa Grandissimo contests, with the three Thanksgiving Day games and the Black Friday games seeing all four underdogs win the games outright. The $100,000 entry Circa Grandissimo pool has now been completed, as all six remaining participants lost in Week 13A. That's right. Three contestants were on the Eagles, three contestants on the Ravens. All six lost. All six split the $6.9 million prize pool. So congratulations to all those participants who did split a share of the $6.9 million. What a way to finish, right? Imagine losing with the Ravens on Thursday Thanksgiving and then knowing that you essentially have a $1 million bet on the line on Friday. And so I can understand why some people might hedge and just like profit off their ticket by betting the Eagles on the money line. And then if the Eagles win, not only do they survive and advance to the next week of the contest, but they also cash their money ticket. And if they lose, you're getting the $1 million anyway. Like you're splitting with, I don't know. See, that's the thing. I would have just let it ride, because if the Eagles lost, which they did, well, you're guaranteed the split of the $6.9 million. So congratulations. Over $1 million into your team. So congratulations to those participants here in Circa Grandissimo and Circa Millions. Down to 49 contestants left after the carnage that we saw here on Thanksgiving. Well, Week 13 will continue here with an exciting slate on this Sunday, including the Houston Texans at the Indianapolis Colts, a game that actually, despite looking at where these teams are in the standings, with the Colts at 8-3 and the Texans at 6-5, this game has massive implications for the AFC South. Joining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line, he is Kevin Bowen, host of the Fan Morning Show in Indianapolis. And he gives us a couple of minutes here on Cashing Out here on VSiN. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. And I guess let's start with the quarterback situation. What is the status right now with Daniel Jones? We heard the story earlier in the week, a fracture in his fibula, but he is going to play. He has been practicing. What's the latest with Danny Dimes?
Yeah, expectation is he will start tomorrow. They didn't promote Brett Rippon earlier today. He's their third quarterback from the practice squad. So you would think if they had, you know, doubts about Daniel Jones or even, you know, concern within the game, you see a good amount of teams, you know, use that third quarterback emergency rule, but they have not promoted Brett Rippon. So yeah, Daniel Jones, we'll see how limited he is. And then Riley Leonard, the rookie out of Notre Dame, will continue to be the backup.
How limited do you expect Daniel Jones to be? Because watching some of that practice video, Kevin, I got to admit, I'm a little concerned. And I think that for me, at least, I mean, from a prop market perspective, I mean, I'm going to be going in on Daniel Jones unders. I don't think that he wants to run the football. I don't think the Colts want him to run the football because they don't want to put him at further risk. How limited do you expect him to be in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I thought there were a couple moments in the Kansas City game last Sunday where, you know, he even looked a hair limited as well. And that was obviously pre, you know, what you saw this week at practice. And, you know, lately there's just been some offensive issues, some, you know, pressure issues. You know, Jones in the fourth quarter last week in particular really struggled when they tried to put the game kind of, you know, in his hands to try and ice it. And the passing offense just did nothing. So, you know, how effective can he be as a scrambler at times? You know, Daniel Jones obviously has a run element to his game, much more so in New York than he really has shown here. But, you know, you go back to that game in Germany a few weeks back, again, he showed the ability to you know, make some plays with his legs. And so, you know, against one of the best defenses in the league and that pass rush duo off the edge, I think it's a huge storyline. And what you saw this week, I think it's a real, real concern for the Colts coming up tomorrow.
You mentioned that defense that they're going against. What is going to be the biggest challenge going up against this D'Amico Ryans defense. What do the Colts have to do in order to find success here tomorrow?
Well, certainly the edge duo. I mean, you have to stay on track. I mean, if you get behind the chains and let Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter get into obvious passing situations, they can wreck a game. And, you know, even when Buffalo last Thursday wasn't in those, you know, situations, they still had a huge impact on the game. And so I think so much of it starts there. I mean, it is a massive game for the AFC South. If you look at where the Colts are at right now, this week and then at Jacksonville next week, just two huge, huge games. The Colts have really played from ahead all season long within the divisional standings, especially here the last month or so. But this race could get real close real quick if you don't take care of business here the next 2 weeks. And remember, the Colts haven't won a division title since 2014. So the urgency, I think, is very heightened right now for the Colts and where they're at right now from an AFC South standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the Texans, and I'll be honest with you, Kevin, I think the Texans are it's a good value play to win this division. Now, it all starts with if the game here tomorrow. If the Texans win this game, you know, the Colts fall to 8-4. Houston's now 7-5. These two teams will play each other the final game of the regular season. And if you look down the stretch of this Colts schedule, as you mentioned, there are some difficult games here. It's at the Seahawks, against the 49ers, the two games against the Jaguars. As great of a start as this team has had, maybe they needed to get off to this good start to make sure that they get into the playoffs with the stretch that they're going to have here at the end of the season.
Yeah, you know, when the schedule came out in May, I think it had a feel of a backloaded nature to it, and that, I think, has only played out even more. Ironically, the Colts, you know, they returned from their bye week last week. Kansas City was the first game back from the bye, and if you looked at the schedule heading into that game, Kansas City was the only team at 500 or worse record-wise. So now they've gotten through Kansas City. Obviously, they lost that game. But their final six games are all against teams with a better than 500 record, which, you know, again, is just kind of crazy, and you obviously laid it out there. And four of the six are, you know, within the AFC South. And the two that aren't, you know, Seattle and San Francisco, obviously had a great season. So, you know, when you started 8-2 and all these questions about the Colts and how for real are they, I think it was fair to say at that point they had passed all the questions presented to them, but also it was probably fair to say, well, there are some questions yet to be presented to them as well. And I think we're starting to see some of that here, and certainly they're going to have some checks to, you know, try and cross off here in the final 6 weeks.
And then you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but you know, next week's game at Jacksonville, it is a place where, you know, this division's weird. It's like this team always beats this team when they go there. This team always beats this team when they come here. And I believe the Colts have lost what, 9 straight in Jacksonville. So that is what is certainly looming here, as we're joined right now on the Progressive Guest Line by Kevin Bowen, host of the Fan Morning Show in Indianapolis. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network. From the defensive side of things, Kevin, you know, C.J. Stroud's going to be back at quarterback here for Houston. We know how talented they are, at least some of the wide receivers are. What does Sweet Lou Anarumo have to do to shut down this Texans offense?
Yeah, I think so much of it starts with Nico Collins. Obviously, the expectation of C.J. Stroud will be back, and the Colts know full well, seeing Nico as much as they have, that you know, he's really torched them over, you know, the last couple of years. Now, if you look at the starting cornerbacks in those games versus, you know, who you're going to have out there tomorrow in Sauce Gardner and Kavarius Ward, it's definitely a different animal, and this is why you make a trade like that. So, you know, I'll be curious just what a Stroud look like, and, you know, coming back after. So Davis Mills more than steadied the ship for them over the last 3 weeks. But then again, can anyone else besides Nico Collins take some of that heavy lifting off them? Because, you know, it was just kind of a weird defensive game for the Colts last week against Kansas City. I thought the Colts defense did so much well in that game, but then you look at it at the end of the day, and, you know, Kansas City had a season high in yards, and Mahomes threw for the most yards he had, and, you know, I think over 2 years, and, you know, just wasn't a lot of complimentary football from the Colts offense in that game, which forced your defense to be out there a whole lot as well. So, yeah, Nico Collins, again, AFC South history just always has been a thorn in the Colts' side, so we'll see how they react to that tomorrow.
Both of these defenses are very good against the run this season, and I think it's something that's not talked about enough when it comes to the Colts' defense, is how good they've been against the run. Is this a game where you think, if we're looking at it from a prop betting perspective, would you go under on the running backs in this game, thinking that both of these defenses will limit both teams' abilities to run the football?
Well, you know, without DeForest Buckner, I think that's something you have to mention.
Good point. Yeah.
You know, he's such a great, great defensive player for them. This will now be, I think, the third game that he has missed. So, you know, how do you make up for that? And then with Jonathan Taylor, I mean, you know, that was the one game last week that he's really been held in check all year long. And if you look at it, you know, I think Shane Steichen doesn't have a ton of regret from, you know, maybe the usage of Taylor in the fourth quarter. But still, you know, when you get, if you get back into a similar situation, you know, come Sunday afternoon and it's a one possession game in the fourth quarter, you're going to risk, you know, putting your ends out there or, you know, putting your tackles out there in some obvious pass rush situations. Are you going to give the ball to, you know, certainly one of the best players in the entire NFL? So Taylor would probably be one I'm a little bit more favorable towards.
Yep, and we'll see how it plays out here. The Colts currently 3.5-point favorites at home over the Houston Texans. Kevin, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and we'll continue to follow along.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Kevin Bowen. Check him out, host of the Fan Morning Show there in Indianapolis on Twitter at KBowen1070. And, wow, you know, you look at this matchup here, and it all comes down to Daniel Jones. This injury, now I know the Colts are all, they're saying the right things, right? And Daniel Jones is saying the right things. Like, they talk to the doctors, they talk to everything. Like, it's this, it's that, whatever it is. Quote, talk to our trainers and our doctors. We would never put him out there if we thought something could go wrong. So our trainers and doctors have cleared him to play. He's good to go. He wants to play, and we're excited for the opportunity, end quote. That was from head coach Shane Steichen on Daniel Jones. However, as sports bettors, how do we take advantage of a situation like this? I think there is a key prop that we can look at to fade Daniel Jones. We'll talk about some best bets. We'll also talk about why the Texans are one of the most popular selections here in the Circa Millions contest for week number 13. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. My thanks to Kevin Bowen from the Fan Morning Show there in Indianapolis, 1070, for joining us on the program in our previous segment to preview the Colts against the Houston Texans, where the Texans plus the 4.5, and I know that's not the line now because the market line certainly has changed, but the Texans plus the 4.5 points were the number one most selected team in this week's Circa Millions contest, with 1,733 entrants selecting the Texans plus the 4.5. And so, yes, there is a bunch of things to break down with that. You have certainly the Daniel Jones injury, which has affected the market line, but also there's just the opportunity to get an extra point here in the market. Currently here at Circa, it is actually down to 3. So the Colts 3-point favorites over the Texans here at Circa for this game. And the Texans, to me, are still a play. Like, yes, there's the Daniel Jones factor, of course, with the fracture in his fibula, and you just don't know. One hit, one twist, one tweak, one step. There's a million things that could happen that could have him re-aggravate this injury. And I know that the Colts are saying all the right things, right? And they're saying, hey, doctors and trainers said it's fine. He can't re-aggravate it. He's not going to hurt himself. It's a pain tolerance thing, whatever. Gets a needle, gets an injection, who cares? I still think that there's a real possibility that we see Riley Leonard in this game for the Indianapolis Colts. I am not comfortable betting on the Colts in this game. I don't know how you could be. I just don't know how you could be, especially when you consider how great the Houston Texans defense has been this season. I just don't see how comfortable you can be back in this team. Now, in my weekly trench report, which we'll go over the numbers a little bit later on here in the program, but you know, you look at what the Texans do, how good the Texans are. This, by the way, is a very close matchup. That's one of the closest matchups. So it's not part of the top five overall matchups in my trench report, but it is one of the closest, if not actually, I think it's the closest matchup in my report. And when it comes to those close matchups, I always tend to lean towards the dog because I think that it's an aspect of the game. The whole reason why I started doing this trench report was because I wanted to identify an aspect of the game that perhaps the betting market is overlooking. And that's where I think you get value on these underdogs, in to see if, you know, these to see if certainly they are overlooking what is going on here in the markets and Colts and Texans, a dead even matchup in the trenches. And you can get the 3 points here with the Houston Texans, and you have an injured quarterback here in Daniel Jones. But what I wanted to bring up was, look at this defense now. The Texans grade out in my rankings as the third best pass rush defensive line in football. It's the Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers, and Houston Texans, 1, 2, and 3 as far as pass rush. And so you have that good of a defensive front getting after the quarterback, pressuring the quarterback, and I have a quarterback that's dealing with a lower body injury. Now, if it was an injury to like his throat, like if this was a Baker Mayfield type injury, I don't think I'd be hesitant, because I'd be sitting here going, well, it's his non-throwing shoulder, right? He still has his legs. He can still get away from some pressure. He can still run. You know, he can still get rid of the ball quickly. Like, okay, I'll be okay with it. But this is a leg injury. This limits his mobility. And going up against an elite pass rush, the one thing I want my quarterback to have is some mobility. So major concerns on the side of the Indianapolis Colts in this matchup. Now let's look at Daniel Jones from a prop perspective. His passing attempts prop, 31.5. On the surface, I would say let's go under, because why would the Colts want him dropping back more than 32 times or more than 31 times? Why do they want that to happen? Why do you want to put him at risk more times than not? Don't you think you'd rather run the football and rely on your offensive line, which has been incredible this season, rely on your running back, who's been incredible this season, and limit the opportunities for Daniel Jones to get sacked and Daniel Jones to get hit? So on the surface, right away, I'm like, boom, under. Well, I'm on Daniel Jones unders across the board. But that's the first one I'm looking at, under pass attempts. Then this is what I think is very interesting. Daniel Jones is passing yardage prop is at 228.5. Okay. Now, stay with me here, because we're going to do some math. You know what? I'm going to get out the handy dandy calculator, AKA the cell phone. Daniel Jones's passing prop is 238.5. Daniel Jones' rushing prop is 7.5. Now that is very low because of everything that we're seeing, you know, with his legs, right? So let's do the math here. 228.5 plus 7.5. Well, that's 236.5, right? Or no, 237. 228.5. My fat fingers pushed the wrong button here. Plus 7.5. 236. Okay. 236. But yet, some books offer you a combo bet where you can go under passing and rushing yards combined. Here we have Daniel Jones at 228.5 passing yards up on DraftKings. Here we have Daniel Jones at 7.5 rushing yards on DraftKings. That math adds up to 236 yards. You can instead bet Daniel Jones under 239.5 combo passing and rushing yards. Now we're getting 3.5 extra yards on this prop. And there might be another book that offers you even more extra yardage on the prop. The best prop bet for me is to go under the combo of 239.5 rushing plus passing yards for Daniel Jones. I don't think he runs at all because of the leg. And I think this Texans defense is going to put him into bad spots here with the pass rush. I don't think that they're going to have a lot of success through the air. I think they're going to rely on Jonathan Taylor as much as they can. So I'd also go under 31.5 passing attempts, shop around, find the best number. But I think with as limited as we're going to see Daniel Jones, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets hurt in this game. And you never want to bank on injuries, obviously. But I could see a situation where Riley Leonard gets in this game. I could see that happening. And so, if that's the case, it's another easy way to hit this under. I love the Houston Texans. If you missed them at plus 4.5, you missed them at plus 4, you missed them at plus 3.5. Can you bet them plus 3 now? Sure. You just got to understand you missed the best number. And you got to be able to accept that. Shop around, though. There are 3.5s on the board. If you like the Houston Texans, DraftKings has a 3.5. You can bet plus 3.5 on the Houston Texans. That's a bet I would make. And I would also be betting Daniel Jones going under. Now, let's talk about the ramifications, though, if the Texans win this game outright. I talked about how Houston is a very attractive play to win the division. Looking at the futures market right now, and I'm looking up on DraftKings. Again, shop around, find the best number here. The futures market for the AFC South division right now, the Colts, obviously at 8-3, are favorites. They are minus 200 right now. Jacksonville, who's right there next to them in the standings, plus 265. You can get plus 700 on the Houston Texans right now to win this division. And here's why there's value in that. It has to start with a win, obviously, here against the Colts on Sunday. But that makes this, by the way, just a one-game difference between the two teams in the standings. Indy would be 8-4, and Houston would be 7-5. Look at the rest of the schedule for Indianapolis. They play the Jaguars twice, by the way. But they're at Jacksonville next week, where they've lost 9 straight games. Then they take on the Seahawks in Seattle. They host the 49ers. Then you play Jacksonville again. And then the final game of the regular season is at Houston. Not only will you be one game back after this week, you will also have the tiebreaker. So as long as both these teams, let's say the Colts even win all the rest of their games. They can win all the rest of their games. If the Texans win this game, win all the rest of their games, and then they win the last game of the regular season, they'll be tied in the records, and they'll have the tiebreaker, and the Texans win the division. So, yes, obviously, you can bet the money line here against the Texans, on the Texans this week, and then use that and move forward. But I think plus 700 to win the division is a ticket that I want right now when it comes to the Houston Texans. Hey, speaking of props, VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the trusted data source behind Elite Soccer Analytics in the UK. That means you'll get data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, plus exclusive NBA player prop projections all compared directly to DraftKings lines to help you find value. You can access it all with a VSiN Pro subscription right now at vsin.com/subscribe. We'll continue to get into the NFL Week 13 Sunday slate coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live as we preview Week 13 Sunday of the NFL. We'll also take an early look at next week's college football championship games once that all sets, and we'll take a look at the college football playoff odds as we get closer and closer to next week's. What an exciting day we had here on Saturday, rivalry week, and we'll look ahead to the conference championships coming your way here next weekend, and then also the college football playoff and that conversation, which is going to get really, really interesting. But let's continue the NFL discussion, taking a look at the schedule here for week number 13 Sunday. Week 13 already got off to a very exciting start, 4-0 straight up for the underdogs, winning on Thanksgiving and Black Friday. And now we'll look to see how many dogs we like here on Sunday. I do like the first game that we talked about. I like the dog in that game, and that is the Houston Texans against the Indianapolis Colts. Currently here at Circa, the Colts a 3-point favorite with a total of 44.5. Next is the Tampa Bay Bucks, a 3.5-point favorite at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Total in that one is 44.5. And the latest information we have on Baker Mayfield is that he's good to go. The injury is to his non-throwing shoulder, right? It's the AC joint or whatever in the non-throwing shoulder. He did look limited. Like, there was that one play where he dropped back to throw. He grabbed his shoulder. Like, it was just, it didn't look good. So AC joint sprain. And it's what the Bucs are referring to as the best case scenario, because this is not a similar injury that he suffered. Remember, he had the shoulder injury that he had when he was with the Cleveland Browns that maybe he shouldn't have played for, because that ruined like the early portion of his career. But anyway, he is officially listed as questionable. He was a full participant in Friday's practice, and he is going to he's going to play in this game. And Todd Bowles said, quote, "You always lean on the medical staff, but you always have to listen to the player too. Obviously, a lot of guys play hurt, and if it's something he can manage and something he feels comfortable playing with, he's not going to put himself in danger, and neither are we. So if he feels comfortable with, and if he feels like he can go, we'll see if he can go." So he's playing. Like I said, full participant in practice here, and Baker will play against the Arizona Cardinals. Now, there is also positive injury news for the Arizona Cardinals, as Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to play here against the Tampa Bay Bucs. So you get the return of Marvin Harrison Jr. after he's been out for a couple of weeks. The questions that I have, at least from a prop betting perspective, we had last 2 weeks, we had bets on Michael Wilson to go over his props for the Cardinals. Jacoby Brissett, he has locked in on Michael Wilson over the last 2 weeks. His numbers have just been incredible, and he's consistently hitting these overs. Now that Marvin Harrison's back, I wonder if Jacoby Brissett is still going to look at Michael Wilson as much as he has in the past couple of weeks, or if he's going to try and force feed the football here to Harrison Jr. Michael Wilson, in his two games without Marvin Harrison the last 2 weeks, 10 catches on 15 targets for 118 yards against the Jaguars, against the 49ers, 15 catches on 18 targets for 185 yards. Two monster games. Two monster games that he has had here without Marvin Harrison Jr. Question is, now that Harrison Jr. is back, do we still think that it is going to be a dominant target share, if you will, for Michael Wilson? Let's take a look at the latest props here for this game, for the Arizona Cardinals taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. For your receiving props, currently up on DraftKings right now, for the receptions, Harrison is at 3.5, minus 149 to the over. Michael Wilson is at 4.5, minus 130 to the over. So the book is still making Michael Wilson the priority as the wide receiver one. The question is, what does Todd Bowles and the Bucs defense do? You see, if you are Todd Bowles and the Bucs defense, you can certainly look at the film over the last 2 weeks and you're seeing, obviously, what Michael Wilson has done. But you also know the reputation and the ability of a guy in Marvin Harrison Jr. And so I would think that the way that the coverage is going to work here for Todd Bowles' defense, which we know is a great defense, we know just how talented they are, we know how tough they are to go against, I would think that it is going to be the focal point of the defense on Harrison Jr. And so I would go over Michael Wilson props again. I would go over the 4.5 receptions here for Michael Wilson. As far as the yardage is concerned, they're both really close. Harrison, 53.5. Wilson, 56.5. It's hard sometimes when these players come back from injury, but I think that the relationship has been built. We have seen it now for a couple of weeks that Michael Wilson, because think about this, with Marvin Harrison off the field and the defense focusing in on Wilson as the number one, or maybe they're focusing on Trey McBride as the number one, but Wilson, the number one wide receiver, he's still having these monster games, monster target share, monster yardage, monster receptions. And so now you make him the third priority for an opposing defense behind McBride and Harrison, how does Jacoby Brissett not go to him again? So I like Michael Wilson overs. I do. I like Michael Wilson overs here in this game going for the Arizona Cardinals against the Houston Texans. Again, 4.5 receptions and over 56.5 is his receiving yardage prop for Michael Wilson here of the Arizona Cardinals going up against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Let's move on to our next game here, and let's give you the current market price. The Jacksonville Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans, and the Jags are 6-point road favorites with a total of 41.5. I talked about this a little bit earlier when I was referring to the Indianapolis Colts and how they've lost 9 straight games going to Jacksonville. Well, the Jacksonville Jaguars going to Tennessee has been a house of horrors. I don't know what it is in this division. It's a really weird thing in this division where, like I said with Kevin, our guest, it's like Team A goes to Team B and always loses at Team B. But Team B goes to Team C and always loses at Team C. And then Team C always goes to Team A and loses at Team A. It's like, it's a weird situation. You want to fade the Colts in Jacksonville. That's one of the propositions here. But you also, historically, I don't know if I can bring myself to do this, okay? Because the Titans are the worst team in the NFL. But historically, you want to fade the Jaguars in Tennessee. Nashville has not been a fun time for the Jacksonville Jaguars. In their history, 9-19 straight up in Tennessee, 12-16 against the spread. That is 43% against the spread. But if we just go, you know, let's start with the 2012 season. Since the start of 2012, the Jaguars are 3-10 straight up in Tennessee, 5-8 against the spread. Overall in their history, as a favorite for the Jacksonville Jaguars going to Tennessee, 3-5 straight up, 2-6 against the spread. But they have lost 3 straight up in ATS as a favorite. And it's 4-5 of the last 6. They've lost 6 straight against the spread, actually, as a favorite in Tennessee. They're 0-6 in their last 0-6 ATS in their last 6 games going to Tennessee. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. We know division rivalries exist. We know division opponents are very familiar with each other. You play each other twice a year. And yes, the Jags have had years where they've been down, so this kind of makes sense, right? The Jags were a bad team, and the Titans under Vrabel did have some good seasons, right? Especially when Derrick Henry was there, like, you know, they had some good years. But for some reason, Jacksonville going to Tennessee has not been a profitable trend to back. That being said, this Titans team is terrible. Absolutely terrible. It feels like, I don't like teasing 6-point favorites because the money line price just doesn't math when you look at the math of a 2-leg teaser. But with the Jags fighting for a playoff spot, with Tennessee being as bad as they are, it's like, how do you not like the Jacksonville Jaguars just to win this game? I don't know if I want to lay 6. They're minus 265 on the money line, though. That's better than a teaser price. It just, wow. Maybe a stay away, but Tennessee is that bad. Like, literally that bad. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. We'll run through the rest of the games here on this schedule. We have the prop conversation coming up, plus the trench report and a preview of college football championship week. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now, we are going to be joined by our professor, Aaron Moore, frequent contributor here to not just our show, but the whole network here on VSiN. We'll get his favorite prop bets coming for Week 13 Sunday tomorrow. We talked about a couple of props that I've already liked. I also have one more prop here that I wanted to give out in that game that we just spoke about a little bit last segment in the Arizona Cardinals and the Tampa Bay Bucks. So ESPN's Adam Schefter reported about an hour ago about Bucks running back Bucky Irving. Quote, Bucky Irving listed as questionable for Sunday due to shoulder and ankle injuries is expected to play versus the Cardinals for the first time since week 4, per source. Bucks don't want to overdo it with Irving, but he will get his touches, end quote. Now, that's the key thing here that he heard from his sources. Yes, he's going to get his touches, but the Bucks don't want to overdo it with him. I think Bucky is it's a fascinating conversation because he's been out for so long, right? And obviously there's been setbacks in his injury, because if they knew he was going to be out for so long, they would have just put him on IR. But they didn't, because they expected him to come back, and he hasn't come back. He hasn't played since week number 4. I'm going to be playing Bucky Irving going under 61.5 combo rushing plus receiving yards. Because while, yes, he'll get his touches, as Schefter said, the Bucks don't want to overdo it with him. And with the emergence of Sean Tucker in this offense, this is now a three-headed monster in the backfield. Why would you push it with a guy that all week was questionable to return, and now all of a sudden, you know, a day before the game, the reports are coming out, you know what, he's going to play. No. The week that I want to back Bucky or go over a player that's hurt props is when they have no injury designation during the week, when they've been practicing fully during the week, when they're fine, when everybody's good, everybody's great. That's when I want to bet the guy, not when they're questionable and then we find out on Saturday that they're going to play, but they don't want to overdo it with him. So I understand that this is a lower number compared to what you would get on Bucky normally, but I'm going to go under the combo 61.5 rushing plus receiving yards for Bucks running back Bucky Irving. We have to talk about the weather game. We have a weather game coming up here tomorrow in the NFL, and it is in Cleveland between the 49ers and the Cleveland Browns. Currently, here at Circa, the 49ers are a 5-point favorite, and the total is at 36. Here is the latest weather from Cleveland. This is the latest weather report here. Winter advisory is on the way. More snow, as they say. Let's look at the hourly we can look at the hourly forecast. Let's see. We'll close the ads because pop-up ads are everywhere. Hourly forecast here as we get closer towards kickoff on Sunday between the Cleveland Browns and the 49ers. Around noon, it'll be 38 degrees with a real feel of 21. Now, the snow will be done. It is not going to snow. It's not going to rain. It's about 34% chance of precipitation. But winds at 25 miles per hour. At 1 o'clock, 27 miles per hour. We are going to have a cold, windy game here in Cleveland. The last time we had a cold, windy game in Cleveland earlier this season was when, and there was rain also involved in that game, but the handicap was, again, the precipitation when it comes to these NFL games is not what you're concerned about. What you're concerned about is the wind. That's what affects the totals. And this total right now is at 36. But I have a feeling that once the pregame shows show the report from Cleveland and you see the goalposts swinging and the flags are waving on the top of the stadium and the players that are doing their warmups that are wearing their face masks and their scullies and they're all cold and you see their sweatpants kind of waving in the wind, right? The jerseys are going to be flapping. This total is going to drop. It's probably going to close at 35. I don't know, 34.5 is maybe a little bit too low, but it's going to close lower than 36. It always happens here. unless we get a positive weather report, which it doesn't look like we're going to. Yes, the precipitation's going to stop, but the wind is everything. 25-mile-an-hour winds, gusts could be stronger. And so I'm looking back at the game that we bet earlier this season between the Cleveland Browns and the Miami Dolphins, where we talked about the weather in that game, we talked about the total going under in that game, but what we really loved in that game was Browns running back Quinshon Judkins. That was a game where we were all over the Quinshon Judkins props. We went over his rushing attempts, which cashed so easily as he finished that game with 25 rush attempts. We went over his yardage, which did not cash because he finished with 84 and he didn't go over the 86.5. That was crushing to me. But we also did a ladder on his touchdowns. He had 3 rushing touchdowns in that game. What an incredible catch on a game that had heavy winds at the mistake by the lake. Now, yes, we have a 49ers team coming in cross country. Who knows how sleepy they'll be. It's Shador Sanders at quarterback now. But I think the way to go in this game is exactly how we played it that week against Miami. And that is to go with Quinshon Judkins props. And that is to look at Judkins over his rushing attempts is probably my best look in this game. Judkins rushing attempts is at 17.5. How does Quinshon Judkins not run the ball 18 times in this game? In that last win game, 25 carries. 25 carries in that game. And the reason why this number is suppressed even, you know, just a little bit is because the computer is factoring in here just that he doesn't really go over this number a lot, right? He had 16 carries against Vegas last week in the win. He had 17 carries in the loss against Baltimore. He had 22 carries against the Jets that went over, 9 in the loss to New England, 25, as I mentioned, in that game against Miami. But what the computer's factoring in is we're just going with the averages, right? And so it's going to be 17.5. Okay, cool. But it's also factoring in the Browns are going to be losing in this game. They're 5 to 5.5-point dogs. They're probably throwing to come from behind. What I'm factoring in is 25-mile-per-hour winds and a quarterback named Shador Sanders. I got to be honest. I am sick and tired of the Shador Sanders talk. I really am. And now articles are coming out that the Browns are going to give him an extended look. And there's actually people, I saw respected analysts that were like naming players that like they would take Shador Sanders over right now. All they're doing is creating clickbait. And I will not even like give them any satisfaction by telling their names or where to find their nonsense articles. Shador Sanders last week against the Las Vegas Raiders. Not a great defense. Good pass rush sometimes. But that Browns offensive line, that Browns defensive line is incredible. The offensive line is okay. But Sanders last week in that game against a bad Raiders team was 11 of 20 for 209 yards. Did throw a touchdown and threw a bad interception as well. That touchdown came on a 1-yard screen pass that the running back took 66 yards to the house in order to score that touchdown. He doesn't go 66 yards on that play. Sanders doesn't throw for a touchdown. In fact, he doesn't go 66 yards on that play, and Sanders does not go over his passing yardage prop. Now we have 25-plus mile-per-hour winds. I can't bet on Sanders to go over his passing yardage prop. Again, it took a 66-yard catch and run in order for him to go over his prop last week. Now, we're seeing his yardage prop here. Let's see. 151.5. Still feels like an under to me. And Sanders, in that game, had a QBR of 8.8. In 2 games so far, limited action against the Ravens and a full start against the Raiders, he has a QBR of 4.5. We're really talking about a guy who so far through 2 games has a QBR of 4.5 as starting quarterback. No, what a QBR of 4.5 tells me is that everybody was right that passed on him in the draft. Again, it's only been a game and a half. So we can't just jump to conclusions already. But to be talking about this kid as the starter moving forward and being the best option for this team moving forward, let's see what he does here against the 49ers in 25-mile-per-hour winds here on Sunday. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.